Well, it's nice to be back. It's nice to see you again. But this visit almost never happened. And my prior visit almost never happened. And they never happened, almost never happened, because I almost never became a Christian. This Tuesday will mark 25 years that I converted from atheism. So I almost never came here. And I say almost because it really depended upon someone else who did something which really changed my life. And I'll get into that in a second. But I grew up in a home, we were baptized as infants, my brother and I, but our family never practiced the faith. And so I grew up void of witnesses of the faith. So the faith never took root within me. And I remember being a little kid and I had some notion of God, I had some belief, but by the time I got into high school, and certainly by the time I got to university, that those notions were gone. I lived as a pagan in every sense. And in university, I studied philosophy, loved philosophy, love it, still love it to this day. And in philosophy, you examine the nature of reality, and you go to the limits of thoughts, and philosophy is a great science. Church loves philosophy. Philosophy forms a mind very well. Good philosophy. Truth pursued with integrity, with to the full. Church has a long relationship with philosophy. And, of course, the question of God came up, and I came to a conclusion that it was rough and rudimentary within the pagan life that I lived, but now it became intellectually clear that I thought it was impossible for the world to exist the way it is and for God to exist. If God exists, why is there so much evil in the world? If God exists, why can I heard on the news yesterday, a 7-year-old boy was killed this week at a drive-thru in McDonald's in Chicago. If God exists, why would that happen? If you were God, would you permit 7-year-olds to be shot at a drive-thru? This was my thinking at the time. I wouldn't. If God exists, why are there so many different religions in the world? Each one contradicting the next. If you were God, would you permit different religions in your world? I wouldn't. And the third one, and this was the killer, that this was for me the most powerful one. If God exists, why does he hide himself? Why doesn't he just peel back the sky and reveal himself? Why do we need faith? If you were God, would you hide yourself? I wouldn't. This was my thinking at the time. So given these three states of affairs, I thought it is impossible for God to exist and the universe to be so constructed. Either God is not all good, or he's not all knowing, or he's not all powerful. He has to be missing at least one of those qualities. That was my thinking at the time. So given these three states of affairs, the only logical conclusion that you can embrace is atheism. Now that embracing, it didn't make me happy. I didn't relish and console in that fact. It was an intellectual conclusion. I was being intellectually honest as I could be. I wasn't playing any games with logic. It wasn't some anti-political thing I had against the church. I had nothing against the clergy. No priest had ever hurt me in my life. that none of that applied. But given those three states of affairs, then the notion of God just doesn't fit in the universe, right? That the way the universe is constructed is proof, so I thought, that God can't exist. And so, what are the conclusions of that? Well, 100 years after I die, 100 years after you die, such that everyone who knew you is also dead, we might as well have never have existed. So existence becomes meaningless, right? Meaningless, right? Without God, you pull God out of the equation, and our existence means nothing. It has no impact on the universe. I was aware of that. I was painfully aware of that. Right? And we're wired. And I was honest enough to see, wait a minute, I find myself wired to want to live forever. Right? There's this desire to that, and this awareness, existence is good, and to remain in existence forever. I was very aware of that. And so, as I'm in college, as I'm an undergraduate, and very aware of these conclusions, I'm pouring myself into my studies, I was a pretty good student. At the same time, I met a group of students. It wasn't a huge group, it was a rather kind of a small group, but it was a group made up of multiple students. And there were certain professors at the university I was attended who lived their faith. They were all Catholics, and they lived their faith as the center of their lives. And it was really a beautiful thing to see. And I remember walking, the university I attended had a Catholic college on the campus, and I used to park in the lot of that Catholic college because they had the cheapest parking. And I remember having parked my car one day, and I was walking to the class that I had on the other side of campus, and I was walking past the chapel of this Catholic college, and I was able to look in through a window, and I saw one of the students with whom I studied, and he was kneeling in front of a square box, kind of like this one, as I looked through the side window. And nobody else was in that chapel, so I stopped and I stared, I looked around. And so he was there, and I knew he was praying. And I thought, what is going on inside him that makes him want to do that? That nobody else was watching. I mean, there was no points he was able to gain from anybody. And yet he was doing that, and he was doing that on his own. And it fascinated me. I didn't understand it, but it made an impression on me. And this group of professors, this small group, this group of students, they lived their Catholic faith, and it was the first thing you would see about them. And it was powerfully attractive. They radiated a peace, they radiated a tranquility and a joy that was powerfully attractive. And it was something that I didn't see in anybody else. And I'll give you an example. I was having a coffee with one of them on campus one morning. It was about 11 o'clock in the morning. We were sitting at a round table. He was sitting across from me. And somebody comes in and tells him, informs him, hey, your car has been stolen out of the parking lot, and it was joyridden around the back streets of the campus, and it was smacked into an oak tree. Your car is now hugging that oak tree. Your car is garbage. And so he hears this news, and then he turns and he faces me again, and he says, I guess it just wasn't God's will for me to have a car right now. and he could still enjoy the cup of coffee in front of him. We talked for maybe another half hour. I have no idea what we talked about in that half hour. I can't remember one word. But I absolutely remember the tranquility that I saw in him, which left me absolutely stunned. This mishap, this, you know, it was a drunk that was still drunk from last night that got into his car. Maybe he left his keys in it. I never did find out what happened, but his car was garbage. But it didn't affect him. There was something else that was inside him that was so big that there was no room for this. So it was irrelevant. It was as useless to him as the paper cup, once he finished his coffee, was to him. Thrown in the trash, you never think about it again. Done. That was powerfully attractive. And so I saw it was different. These men had something I didn't have. And I found myself gravitating towards them. Now, the professors were absolutely brilliant, and these students were great students. I had classes with them. And I heard them in the class. I heard the comments they make. Now, I took studies really, really seriously. And I say this humbly. I graduated at the top of my class. I took studies really seriously. I was focused. I liked the pursuit of truth. Right? And thank God for me, because that was my saving grace. It's my saving grace. I had a detour through atheism in my life. Right? Made it out. And so I just found in my time off, when I wasn't in studies, associating with this group more and more, and not really able to figure them out, because how could I figure them out? I mean, did they miss the memo? Did they miss the conclusions that I had come up with? Like, given the states of affairs of the world, how is it possible that God could exist? And yet one of them, and it was at the end of my second year, the end of my sophomore year in college, organized a Eucharistic adoration retreat. A Eucharistic adoration retreat, and he invited me. And I had no idea what that was. He mentioned the word retreat, and I heard vacation. Sure, I'll go. I was the only one among them now who had a car. I said, I'll bring the beer. I'm there for you. You can count on me. And so I arrive at this retreat house, and it was a stunningly beautiful Catholic retreat house. It was built and run by Ukrainian Catholic nuns. And any of you, if you know the Ukrainians, boy, they know how to decorate. Right? I mean, the faith is in your face in an elegant, beautiful, mesmerizing way. The mystery of Christianity is writ large in any Ukrainian institution. And I went around this place, and I was mesmerized by what I saw. And again, I asked the question, what is going on inside of these people that makes them want to do this? And all of us, so we were divided into Eucharistic adoration shifts. And each man had 4-hour-long shifts a day. So I remember I had 3s and 9s on the clock. 3 p.m., 9 p.m., 3 a.m., 9 a.m. And so I, and as luck would have it, who do you think had the first shift? So here I am in the chapel, and what looks to me like a cracker is placed on the altar. What looked to me like a cracker is placed there, and we are meant to adore and worship this cracker. And they all file out. I've got the first shift. I'm going to be there for the next hour. And all I could do was plot my escape. What is there to do but plan how I can get the heck out of here? That was the day, it was before cell phones. I don't know if any of you can remember that day. It's been a long time ago now, it seems, huh? 25 years ago, there were no cell phones. So I couldn't fake that I had a call and that I had to leave. Hey, there's some emergency at home. My goldfish died. I gotta go. Right? Couldn't do that. I could say that I forgot something. That one didn't quite seem to work. Didn't quite seem to be enough. Well, what did you forget? Deodorant. Well, there's a store over there. Let's just go get some for you. I went down the list of excuses that I could give to say, hey, I can't be here, and just all of them seem stupid, but more than that, I had too much respect for these people of integrity to lie to them. They had so much integrity, I was ashamed at the notion of lying to them. And so I'm sitting there, and maybe 20 minutes have passed by at this point. And so I thought, well, gosh, I made a commitment to be here for 3 days. I have no idea how I'm going to get through these 3 days. But I made a commitment there. I'm going to stick with this. I said I was going to come. I'm going to come. I'm going to stay. And then I did the most honest thing that I had ever done in my life. I got on my knees in front of what appeared to me to be a cracker. And I said, God, I don't know if you are here or not. I don't believe you are. And I felt absolutely, I felt like I was doing the equivalent of kneeling in front of maybe a tree and talking to a tree or a rock. I don't know if you are here or not, but if you are, please reveal yourself to me. And if you can give me what they have, I'll give you my life. And so what happened next was not very dramatic, and thank goodness that there was nothing really sensible or palpable that I saw or heard. I didn't see any lights. I didn't see an angel blowing a trumpet. I didn't see anything extraordinary. And I thank God for that, because it would have been easy years later to doubt that and to question whether, you know what, was I maybe mentally ill that day or hallucinating that day? But what I experienced was a certain measure of peace within me. It wasn't overwhelming, right? Didn't knock me off my horse, but it was palpable. I could feel it. And I like to call it, when I think about it, a thread of peace. I felt a thread of peace pulling me and keeping me in that chapel for the rest of that hour, the other 40 minutes that I had left to live. Wasn't overwhelming, but it was palpable. I finished my shift, and I was surprised at how relatively quickly the next 40 minutes went, right? They weren't in agony like the first 20 minutes were. I had my next shift then. That was at 3 p.m. I had my next shift at 9. And that thread of peace had now become more of a rope of peace. It was thicker, girthier. Still wasn't overwhelming, but it was much more palpable. Then I had my dreaded 3 a.m. shift, which I had to wake up for, which I did. But now, the sense of peace I felt was overwhelming. And at some point in that shift, I knew that I was in front of Almighty God, that I was in front of He who created me, He who loved me, and he who had a plan for my life and who gives meaning to everything. It was absolutely overwhelming. I didn't see anything, I didn't hear anything, but I knew. And the peace I experienced is the same peace I experienced to this day. It has never left. It was absolutely fulfilling. It was mesmerizing. It was consoling unlike anything I had ever experienced in my life. And you know, I thank the Lord that was the way in which he came to me, because if he had come in any other way, in any sensible kind of way, seeing something here, it would have been easy to question my mental health later on. Easy to question whether, hey, maybe it was I hallucinating. But peace is the one thing that you can't fake. You can't fake peace. You can't fake it. It's the thing everybody wants. It's the thing everybody desires. It's the hardest thing to get. It's the hardest thing to get. Here I was, rich in it. And so everything changed in that moment. Everything changed. And I left that retreat a believer. Now, my call to the priesthood came years later. I would have become a priest. I would have entered seminary if God wanted in that moment. He didn't want it. Never asked it from me, but for years later. So my life became very different. And the answers to all the questions and queries I had came in that moment. So in that moment, I knew the Catholic faith was true. I knew that God is so sovereign and so in control of everything that even the evil which is present in the universe has its place, that God is using even evil to bring about an even greater good. There was no doubt in my mind in that moment. There was no doubt. And the question of the different faiths, the different religions, it's as if God was saying to me, I've come to you in my son Christ. Can there be anything else? That question was answered. It was settled. And why does God hide himself? He was never hiding. He had been preparing me, even in my atheism, for that moment in that chapel. It was astounding. It was astounding. Years later, when I was ordained a priest, right? How's this for cool? My third Mass I celebrated as a priest. I went back to that chapel. And my intention for that Mass was for my conversion from atheism, which happened 13 years prior. That God, who is outside of time, owns time. Time is a creature. It is a creation. Time has no more power over God than an orange or an apple have power over God. And so that Mass I celebrated 13 years after my conversion from atheism, it dawned on me to offer that up for an event that in time happened in the past, but in eternity is always happening. In eternity and outside of time, God allowed me to participate in my own conversion from atheism in a way of mystery. I can't even begin to explain that. But that's what happened. All of this, friends, all of this almost never happened. I was invited on a Eucharistic adoration retreat. If I had not been invited, I wouldn't be here in front of you today. I have no idea where I would be. I have no idea. I have no idea. Many of my schoolmates that I attended school with, elementary school, high school, college, Many of them are no longer on the earth today. Some have taken their lives. A great number have taken their lives. Great number. They had meaninglessness in their lives. I could have been one of them. I could have been. But someone chose to invite me on a retreat. Someone chose. And he was scared to death to do it. I was the smart kid in the class. And he was highly intimidated of me. And he told me so afterwards. He felt like a fool making this invite. But for me, it made all the difference in my life. So never hesitate to share your faith. Never hesitate. You have no idea the impact it will have on someone. You have no idea the amount of grace that will release on the person. And God, in every act of faith that you exhibit, he is present within it. And God is a wild card. You have no idea what he's going to do. But he will always surprise us. So friends, be witnesses. Share your faith. Huh? You know what the Greek word is for a witness? The New Testament word for witness is martyr. If you're a witness, you're a martyr. And if you're a martyr, you're a witness. And by extension, the word for a non-witness is non-martyr. To witness is to martyrdom, is to enter a martyrdom, is to choose to step out in faith and make ourselves vulnerable. Go with that thought, friends.